Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Oh, The Adventures of Dobie Gillis.
Who's Dobie Gillis?
Oh, he's it's what Gilligan played before Gilligan.
Oh, you mean I think you're thinking of Maynard G. Krebs.
No, it's Dobie Gillis reads the news.
Okay. So Maynard G. Krebs was the he was the goofy sidekick.
Yeah.
To Dobie. Okay. Yeah.
Dobie Gillis.
Hey, man.
How do you get a psychedelic beatnik?
I am not sure. Can you
put them in a blender?
Oh, because of the patterns and whatnot.
You're on to it.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes it takes me a minute.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Sometimes it takes me an hour.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Who rated us a 3?
Oh, that was a while ago, dog.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah. No, that was okay. Bonfire Side Chat has a 1, which is the first one we've ever gotten.
Really?
Yeah.
It's me. No,
I'm just... I'm actually just kind of sad that that person didn't write a review. I would like to know what they think.
They clearly haven't listened to your other work, as evidenced by the by no more ones.
I have no like I've lost all ability to communicate with other people.
Sure, lost yeah. is. I mean, that's
well, you never had any ability that I once had. Like, you know, just there are those people who exist in your life where anything you say about like your day, like you're kind of like, oh man, I had a rough day today. And then their response is, oh, you don't know the half of it. I blah, 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 blah. And it's like, just for real, man, like for real, you're going to do this? Like me, like I can't have a bad day because you nearly got in a wreck on the way to work. This isn't anybody at work that I'm talking about. This is just a general character that I run across in my life, which you'll find in my one man show.
Or when you talk about your horrible day and somebody's like way too apologetic.
I am so sorry.
Oh man, I can't believe that happened to you. You're too good.
Well, I mean,
no, I'm not.
I kind of deserve it. I'm walking around looking for punishment for the horrible things that I do on a daily basis. No, so I'm kind of that person. Like, I don't say like, oh my gosh, you're a saint. Why would this ever happen to you? Like, that's not me. But like, if somebody says like, oh fuck, I stubbed my toe, I say I'm sorry. I don't know if that's the Midwest in me or what.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, do you do that?
I don't think so.
No?
No. In fact, I flew recently.
Yes, you did.
And last week, in fact.
Okay.
And a lady that sat next to me on my plane back, she was unaware that we were on a slave ship in the sky.
Oh, yeah. Staffed like cordwood.
Yeah, Noah's Ark at like 30,000 feet.
Right.
And she tried to act like a human and treat me like I was one. And I looked at her as though she had elephants crawling out of her vagina.
Okay.
Wow, right?
Yeah.
She said, you know, because I had my arm up because I had hurt my back. And so I had my arm up on the seat. And she said, you can put your arm down. It's not going to bother me. And I kind of looked at her sideways. I'm like, well, where do you... Oh, You're in the 60s.
She thinks that you're doing it for her?
Yeah.
Like out of some misguided reverence for women?
Yeah. So then she decided that, you know, because I had my arm up, she then later in the flight, without saying anything, just kind of, she pulled the armrest up in between us.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't a come on because she's with her dude, or maybe it was. Cleveland was their final destination.
You know how they do up in Cleveland. or as I call it, Detroit Light. I guess Detroit Light would be Toledo. Continue.
It's a waypoint on the drug trail.
Yeah, the blight hasn't spread that far. So she puts
that's where you get your Funyuns.
So she put the armrest up. Like, so was she just kind of like,
yeah, just trying to like give me more room, you know, like to work my shoulder out. Maybe she was a physical therapist. I don't know.
Okay.
And she read her book and crossed her legs and ate a carrot. had a cranberry juice and tonic.
That sounds like a classy lady. Like,
you shouldn't have been in coach.
No. You see, there should be a nomination system, okay? If somebody's classy, like, they should just save a row of seats in first class, you know, because nobody's buying them anyway. I've never seen first class full up. I've never seen it. But like, they should save like one or two seats, right? And just like, people can nominate, like there should be like a little terminal in the back of your on the back of the seat in front of you, maybe on that screen that you can't ever turn off. You ever try turning that screen off?
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it. Like the second the next advertisement comes on, they bring it back up because they want you to see it.
Well, they want it to be on because if the plane's going down, they put Oprah on and she says, "Hey, look under your seat for your prize." There's like four seats that parachutes. Winner. The rest of you get raspberry scones.
Ah! Oh, man. There's no reason death shouldn't be delicious, Chris.
No.
You get a lifeboat. You get a lifeboat. Yeah. But what you don't know is you have to pay taxes on them. It's a real bummer.
It's taxes on a parachute.
See, that's what you need. I don't need a fucking floating seat boat. Raft.
Yeah, I think Oprah misunderstood the term golden parachute. I'm not paying for this. Take it.
My network's failing. What do you want me to do?
I'm not paying those taxes. Give me the scone.
Give me the scone, please.
Give me the scone.
Oh, man. So many problems that a scone could solve. No, but I guess what I'm saying is you vote. You say like, hey, the person in seat, you know, 23F, you know what? I spilled my drink and they offered me their napkins to clean it up. I nominate
they did all that.
And at the midpoint, the flight attendants come on the line, or maybe the pilot, who knows, and says, and the winner of our good person raffle is Janice in aisle 23F. And everybody claps. And then, you know, the flight attendants come and, you know, grab her bags. And, you know, she goes up and takes her seat. And the last half of the flight, you know, she gets to take it in relative comfort with an extra 2 inches of leg room.
You get the standard issue box cutter.
I was talking with somebody. I guess
tell them our story.
It was tell us our story. No, they let's roll. No, I was it was on another show. It's probably not going to make it because it was in the post roll where somebody was talking, like somebody I was on a show with. They were talking about how apparently it's now legal to take knives on planes again.
Yeah.
It's like
in April.
Yeah,
April 28th or something.
Okay, yeah. Does that, like, is there any reason to, like, okay, so I mean, there's obviously a line, and this is where a great deal of the moral debate in our country happens, right? Like, where does that line rest? I think that line is, the line between toenail clippers and a switchblade, or a katana.
No, it's blades of 2.36 inches or longer.
That's
less than a half inch wide, and they have to be able to fold in.
So is it like you can't have a switchblade, but you can walk down the street with a katana in your back? So everybody knows that you're carrying a Roman short sword. Like, you're like, okay, cool, right?
No, it's a prop from The Patriot.
You're thinking of a bayonet.
No, I was.
Are bayonets legal? Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no. More interestingly about that, because this is one of the stories that I had, and the knife wasn't so much as interesting to me as they're also allowing some kinds of sports equipment, including golf clubs, hockey sticks, lacrosse sticks, pool cues, plastic wiffle bats.
You know what? Given a couple of hours, one of those plastic wiffle bats might actually be dangerous.
When asked for comment, the TSA said, "We're focusing on things that actually matter." No, the things that can cause catastrophic damage.
No, I suppose that makes sense, but I mean, I can think of at least two box cutters that did some pretty big damage before. I don't know.
Flight attendants are pissed.
I'm sure. I mean, it makes their life more difficult because if somebody decides to brandish
a lacrosse stick.
If somebody decides to brandish a lacrosse stick.
which I think is what they call it when you replace the net in a lacrosse stick. That's brandishing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's kind of
someone
like,
decides to do their fucking job on the plane.
Somebody decides, you know what? All these fucking nerds with their MacBook Airs, they can write their shitty novel. I'm going to brandish my lacrosse stick because I'm a lacrosse smith.
Hey, Donnie, who's up for a game of wiffle?
Oh, man, Chris. Man. By the way, this is episode 108 of Those Damn Roskits. My name's Cole Ross.
I'm Chris.
Like, okay, so a mid-air, drunken, dizzy wiffle ball tournament.
You've been on the Lakers plane.
If I didn't disassemble my bell, I would have hit it.
New on JetBlue.
No, that's more of a Virgin Airways kind of thing, right?
Eagles, yeah. They're doing that already.
No, they've been doing it. They're pioneers.
Now they can just do it for cash.
Yeah. No, what is it?
They're wagering on Virgin Air.
That British Airways, like Ryanair, which like decided to get rid of bathrooms or something as a publicity stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're metering oxygen on those. Cabins are half pressurized.
Yeah.
Gum's $90.
It's 25 cents for 15 minutes of oxygen.
Yeah. And gum's $90.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, you want to pop your ears? You want to pop your ears? How's that?
Well, okay. So you only
you like that?
You like that? Do you like that, Chris? Do you? Manzies.
So, 25 cents will get you more where that came from.
Ah, that sweet, sweet oxygen. It's almost like you need it to live.
The spice of life.
Yeah. No, I guess all I'm saying is midair, drunken, dizzy wiffle ball.
I heard you.
I know. I just wanted to make sure
you
heard the thing I said.
No, I got you.
I don't know. Why is air travel such a fruitful like area of discussion? Is it because it's so unnatural?
No, it's the thing comedians do between gigs.
It's one of those.
It's what they do most often.
It's what they do most often.
Yeah.
I heard a great theory about as to why that happens. Like, what's the deal with buying on a plane? Like why that's such a common trope. It's because, like, as comedians get more successful, like, most of them converge towards that because they, instead of, like, riding around in a tour van or whatever, you know, or just like, you know, just driving from city to city in their car, they're being flown from place to place. And so like, instead of spending time on the ground with the rest of humanity, they're packed into the slave boat sardine cans, you know, of the Boeing 737, right?
Sure. And I think that 30 Rock did a bit about that with Tracy Morgan, Tracy's character, Tracy Jordan.
Right. It's easy. You know, it's easy to get them mixed up.
It's easy to stay in character, I guess. But the thing was, they said he lost touch with his roots, and they're trying to explain to him that he needs to get back to his roots. And they show, like, you know, early '90s stand up of him, and he's like, "You ever notice how white people dial the phone like this? Boop 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 boop." And he says, "You know, black people dial the phone boop 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 boop." And he's like, and then they show stand up from today, and Tracy Morgan's like, "You ever notice how white people eat lobster on their boat?"
Oh, man, that joke that canceled show made is really funny.
It wasn't canceled. They went out on top with a 13-episode season.
With a half season, yes.
On broadcast television, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But they all did. All of them went out at the same time.
Yeah, The Office. Well, The Office petered out.
It's like elementary school kids going to the bathroom.
Petering out.
No, they all go together.
Oh, okay.
Contagious.
Yeah.
But there's only one hall pass. Then because Chris Fife ruined it. No?
It's so, like, I can't help but think, like, if I was ever in a position where I had to ask somebody permission to get you, to go take a piss, I would probably, like go end it in a river in, like, the dead of winter. Like,
I'm not saying you can't do that.
What?
Your plane thing.
Oh, okay.
Back to the plane.
Oh, yeah. No, like, did we say that?
No, you and I talked about it.
We talked about it. So
in one of our sides.
Yes, in one of our man calls. I recently was
in the bath.
I was in the, oh God. I don't ask what you're doing. As long as I don't hear a flush, I'm fine. I mean, I was
I rarely flush.
It's good. Well, no, you're an environmentalist at heart. No.
Sure.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was on a plane recently and, you know,
ba-boom.
What's that?
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. Yes. What?
Rim shot.
Ba-boom. That's a rim shot.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom.
I did speed bump. Sorry.
Okay, cool. I need to recalibrate that soundboard.
God, that's horrible.
Yeah. No, I was on a plane recently and, you know, when I'm in a confined space with no obvious exit, I tend to get the nervous poops. And there was turbulence, and the pilot came out. We got some turbulence happening up here. Yeah, we're gonna have to keep the fasten seatbelt sign up. Drink service will be delayed. And so like I'm just gonna like, oh man, my guts turned to soup, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not certain if I can get up and go relieve that. If I can get up and go have the wet poops, right?
Sure.
You know, I have a condition, Chris. You know, and I don't have a card that reflects that. If I had Crohn's disease, I could go poop whenever I wanted to. But, you know, it's like with regular old IBS, nothing. I raise my hand when the stewardess passes by and says, excuse me, ma'am, would I be able to go use the restroom? And she said, I can't give you permission to do that because the sign is on. However, it's really up to you. And I said, okay. What I wanted to say to her was, will I be tased if I get up and go to the restroom?
Is the air marshal going to tackle me?
Yeah. Am I going to be shot with a hollow point?
Essentially.
Yeah. So, like, are some vigilantes going to get up and say, let's roll and just tackle me to the floor?
Excuse me. Flight's going to be delayed a little bit. We've ran into a flock of seagulls. Sit back, relax, and listen to a version of "I Ran So Far Away."
Coming up next, we got "Tears for Fears" with shout.
Camera plane's going down. Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears.
Is that our version of the orchestra playing the Titanic down?
I think it could be. You spin me right round. We're going into a dive.
By what you mean a tailspin?
Yeah.
With the dulcet tones of Dead or Alive.
Turn to Crash Channel 2. Burt Bacharach.
Oh man. So do you have a story for me?
Sure. If you want.
I guess.
Okay. This story is about the Pope because it's that time.
It's the most popeful time of year.
Yeah. As we know that we should know by now, is that the Pope resigned. First time it's ever happened since
the 1400s, I think.
Forever. Yeah. Essentially. Since before, I think, the world existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happens? Like, we know what happens to our president after he gets done, right? He builds a library and then dies. This guy, Pope Benedict, is going to go and move into an apartment. Like, it's like Golden Pope years. Okay.
Is he going to go to like some kind of like weird papal compound where he's just going to like ride around on a golf cart?
But here's the thing.
Okay.
He's going to go live with his longtime assistant, personal secretary, in some apartment somewhere. And so the comment in the article that I'm reading is, so Benedict's handsome male companion will continue to live with him while working for the other Pope during the day? Or are we supposed to think that's normal?
Well, nothing about the situation is normal.
Yeah, but here's this guy who's been with the Pope for like his entire bishopcy or whatever. I don't know. I mean, like all along, like his male partner.
Right, right.
And now they're going to go retire together?
Well, okay, so the you know, Catholic's gay, like, you know, like that whole like thing.
I'm saying is the guy nagging at the Pope, like, hey, when can we try a different grind?
You know what? Like we've been doing some coarse grinds on the French press for a while.
Oh, sure.
Can we do like a fine grind on the AeroPress? You know,
oh,
like,
yeah. When in Rome, try an Italian roast.
When in Rome, I mean, I hear those Turkish. You know, they've got a weird grind down there, right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of like the presidency, right? Okay, well, like okay. That is a bad analogy because it is pretty funny.
It's like it's poking a meatball, you know, after a bike ride.
Just to make sure it's done.
No, with your dick.
Oh, okay. No. But just
that's the Pope gay thing. Sorry.
imagine being in a situation where you're never alone, and then like retiring to a secluded bachelor life. Like that's gotta be like about Schmidt depressing.
Yeah. I mean, he probably can't poop without being watched.
Like he probably can't poop if he's not in a bulletproof chamber.
Do you have backstage fright?
Is the Pope pee shy?
I think he might be. Well, his urine test.
Well, you know, to make sure he doesn't have the, you know.
Yeah. An iron deficiency.
The amyl nitrates. Yes.
Sure.
But like, just imagine that. Like, he knows no other life.
Well, he hasn't been a pope since he was 13. He's not the kid pope.
Well, like, just, you know, when he was 13, he was in the Nazi youth.
Well,
or the Hitler youth. You know, he was conscripted. That's a weird. That is a fake scandal. The real scandal is how he, you know, hit all those kiddie diddlers. But it's like, you know, his entire adult life. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, what would happen if the podcast just went away and my evenings were free to me and I didn't have stuff to do and I didn't have an audience? That would be a weird life for me because I've known nothing else for the past like 5 years.
So you're like the Pope.
I am the Pope of Podcast Town.
Okay.
Okay. No, but just like you get into, a rut, maybe a routine, you're used to a certain quality of life. You know, these guys have been around. They've bonded professionally. They're probably friends, right? They're probably really intimate. They probably know each other's secrets. They just want to keep around each other to be, you know, just keep company. I guess what I'm saying is they can't live without each other. They wish they could quit each other, but they can't.
Are they soulmates?
Maybe. It's the closest thing they can have, you know, per God and whatnot.
Did God say they can't do that?
I think.
The women.
What?
They can't do the women. Did God say that?
That's a weird thing because the notion of celibacy was defined. This is real funny. No. Celibacy used to just mean you couldn't marry. But then it became like, you know, just sometime, you know, fairly recently, like, okay, no sex whatsoever. And that's when they became boy hungry.
Recently in what scale?
Recently as in like the 1800s or something like that. Recently in terms of the papacy, you know? Recently in terms of Catholicism. I mean, you know, Catholicism has been around since, you know, Peter said, yo, or since Jesus said, yo, Pete. You got to tell my homeboys what up.
Hey, yo, Pete, I made a new hat.
Check out my hat, Pete. Hey, Pete.
Check out this new hat. Who do you think should wear it? Oh, I don't know of anybody. Maybe we need to make some new ones. Nobody I know is going to wear that fucking hat.
I got to tell you, you're infallible.
Hey, you're never wrong, guy, right? That's what it says, but... Maybe we need to make another day. I'm just saying.
Hey, don't judge me and whatnot.
It's gonna take a while to make people to wear that hat.
Ugh, man. Who are the people that they're making?
Why does he sound like Mo Sizlak?
I gotta tell you, Homer. Oh, yeah. They used to wrap barbed wire around the Pope hat. They called it the Stinger.
They throw the Pope into the tan buckle. Get him like that, JC. Get him.
Like Mo was funny, but they turned him into Flanders kind of. So like Flanders, like initially was just like a do-gooder, but then he became like hyper Christian. Mo used to just be kind of like a really unpleasant individual, but then they just made him suicidal. And that wasn't too terribly
Rocky's
funny.
Trainer. Sorry.
You gotta eat lightning and shit in the thunder. Yeah.
I already am. What do you want?
Kind of.
None of this bowling nonsense.
None of this bowling nonsense?
Yeah, the thunder's the bull, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. So anyway, the Pope worships Jesus. Jesus turned water into wine. But how about this, Chris? What about something that could turn air into water?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, the University of Engineering and Technology in Lima, Peru, has come up with a billboard that is
has come up with a shoe.
No,
a new hat.
A most wonderful device that turns a billboard that turns the humid Peruvian air into 25 gallons of water per day. Now, this region of Peru, it's coastal, but it's also in a desert. It gets about 1 inch of water per 1 inch of rain per year. Rain is water, which actually drives people to drink from polluted wells. So they're putting this up here, saying like, "Hey, this university just made this thing that turns our 98% humidity rate into water that y'all can drink. It's all for you." Go for it. And maybe if you want to go here, you can do this too. That's pretty cool, right? This isn't...
It's going to hurt the globe market.
What do you mean?
Oh, because I would assume like in 98 degree humidity, I would keep trying to redraw the equator, hoping it would change.
Hey, we need a new shipment.
Put a Sharpie
globes
on there and spin.
Let's give Tampa a thing or two.
Yeah. Tampa, want a hat?
Hey, Tampa. Hey, Tampa, heads up.
We made a billboard for you.
Yeah. America fucking rules, man. Like, we are the perfect distance away from the equator.
Well, so is everyone else on our latitude.
Well, yeah. But I mean America specifically. I think that most of our latitude is in China or Mongolia, and otherwise it's just the ocean and the Mediterranean Sea.
Hmm.
I have no research to back that up, nor will I look at a map right now. But yeah. we are positioned in a temperate and dare I say superior latitude.
Oh, yeah. Exceptionalism. That's what we're about.
Well, yeah.
Don't apologize.
No, I will never apologize for America. Chris.
Oh, pardon my drone.
Chris, these colors don't run.
No.
Well,
they'll be gone soon.
Well, I mean, they do run, but it's right after you, Osama.
Extra run cycle, they'll be gone.
They run after you.
They do.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes. In fact, I'm aware of, if you type into Google, like name to Kevin Bacon, it will tell you how many bacon degrees they are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you aware that he is married to a woman named Kira Sedgwick?
She is an actress.
Long time. Yeah. They've been married. They were recently filmed on a PBS show called Finding Your Roots, which traces family backgrounds, and they learn that they're actually ninth cousins.
Oh, that's like by the time you're a ninth cousin, you don't share enough.
they actually filmed them getting the news for the show.
Why would they ask the question if they thought there was?
I don't know. But at first, Sedgwick, the wife of Kevin Bacon, looked mortified and said, "See, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it." After she calmed down, she said, "As long as we're not first cousins, it's fine."
Well, if you're second cousins, you only share 1/32nd of the DNA, right?
I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're first cousins, it's 1/8 of the DNA, which is a pretty big slice of the pie. But if you're second cousins, it's 32nd, and then it goes up exponentially from there. So they cool. I mean, like. Think about Genghis Khan. Like, you know, he's the sire of
everyone's related to that guy.
Yeah, well, like 20% of Asia is related to him.
Yeah, he's like a continent's cousin Eddie.
Excuse me, Killing Floor is full.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, well, man, they could shoot archery off of the back of a moving horse going at like 70 miles per hour.
Yeah, going at 70 horses, going at 1 horse per hour.
1 horse per hour.
It's not like a lot now.
Well, like, what was it? They would ride their horses, and like that, like what they would do is they would hang down and they would drink milk from the female horses while they were running, so they could continue to like go across all of Asia.
Where'd you throw the tips?
What do you mean?
Like money. Sounds like a trick.
That's funny.
So you Mongolian times.
Mongolians. That's bad.
There is no living at Mongolian times.
There, you must die. Yes. We all must die. This too shall pass. So
good slogan for the podcast.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. Trust me.
Trust me. It is fine. So I would say that Genghis Khan was a narcissist, right? He wanted to create the world in his image, right?
Did a damn good job.
He did. Well, you know, 20% of the existing population or something like that, give or take. There are some scientists out of the University of Maryland who have determined that if your signature is big, then you are probably a narcissist.
What about if your signature is not legible?
Then you're probably a doctor.
And fast. But not a doctor. I wonder what that means.
That was just a terrible joke.
The doctor part?
The doctor part.
I don't even notice anymore. I'm sorry.
Somebody that I do business with said, "Are you a doctor?" based on my handwriting and some documents that I showed him, it was real upsetting.
Yeah, let me diagnose you.
Yeah, but they've determined by looking at 600 CEOs that.
All of them are narcissists?
Well, yes. Those with the biggest signatures were more likely to be self-involved and also more likely to run their companies into the ground.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So, speaking of telltale ways to find out more about your personality, I have a question for you, Chris. How do you like your eggs?
Hard? Over hard? Is that a thing?
So, fried?
Aren't all of them fried?
Well, a lot of them. But
there's poached, there's boiled. Hard.
Yeah, there's poached. Yeah,
over hard.
Yeah, yeah. Then you have the highest sex drive of egg aficionados, whereas I, who like my eggs scrambled, am a guarded individual.
I would think that I don't believe that.
You don't believe that I'm guarded?
No, I got that. I think you're spot on with the scrambled.
What do you mean?
I just don't.
You don't believe that I like scrambled eggs?
No, I don't think that the hard thing, because I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I could care less.
Yeah, your libido is long in the past. But Yeah, this is just what scientists out of Mind Lab International have said. What color is your car?
Well, I got a new one today.
You did? You
maybe got this says maybe I changed today. So, okay. Oh. My old car was white.
Yes.
So that means I like, what, facials?
Yes. No. See, this is weird because white isn't accounted for. So they say that people who drive red cars are aggressive and reckless. People who drive green cars have a more positive outlook. Dark blue or silver car owners are upbeat. I refuse to believe that. And black car owners lack self-confidence.
Hmm.
That's out of the University of Cambridge. And finally, what is your favorite genre of music?
I don't know. What are the choices?
Okay, so let's say classical, jazz, and heavy metal. That's all one.
Okay. Really? All right.
Metal itself. So let's just say classical and jazz, then metal, and also blues, rap, country, and indie rock.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
I mean, out of those choices, I would say indie rock.
Yeah, me too. I would say indie rock. That means that we are harsh and we lack self-esteem.
100%.
100%. Nobody would disagree.
No. Yeah. Not anyone I know.
I have a tiny signature and I love indie rock. Help.
Trevor, I drive the color of my car is called Black Hole.
I drive a Black Hole car. Yeah, and I listening to Black Hole
and
Sun.
I only eat the yolks.
I find somebody who only eats the whites and then I eat their leftover yolks.
If only I could find that person.
Then you would be whole.
If only that person would want me. Ding.
So the bell's disassembled.
Broken down from moving?
No, I like playing with...
I've broken my entire all of my possessions into subcomponents.
I'm
moving my ice one cube at a time.
It's like a 20-minute drive. It's harrowing. Oh, man. Tell me a story.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
To feel alive.
Cool, man. A mother in Indonesia confessed to murdering her son because she was concerned that he had too small a penis. The 38-year-old woman drowned her boy in the bathtub, dressed him, laid him on his bed, and went to report her crime. She said that the boy always had a small penis, but it appeared to shrink further after he was circumcised.
Yeah, it's are you
apparently mom didn't love me.
Yeah, you know. So she killed him?
Killed him, drowned him in the bathtub.
Huh.
She drowned him in his birthday suit and then put him in his Easter dress. Do they have Easter there? Indonesia?
Probably. They're godless.
They have our calendar, it's still a day.
No, it's yeah. It's still marked up there.
Yeah.
Okay. If I have Rosh,
it's like all this shit on our calendar. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. If I have Rosh Hashanah on my calendar, yeah. Then they have Easter.
They have Easter, sure.
But man, that's harsh. Like I say things.
Everyone there on that day just looks up what their eggs mean to them.
It's like their horoscope. What's your egg horoscope, Chris?
What's your egg horoscope on American Easter?
American. So like is that kind of like the Chinese horoscope? I'm year of the rabbit.
Dude, they're generally pretty good people though. They probably bring eggs to the bunny at the mall. As an offering.
As opposed to expecting eggs from the bunny.
No, it's an offering for a good carrot season.
As opposed to beating the bunny with wiffle bats to get his eggs.
Nothing.
What?
It's an offering for a good carrot season.
That's asinine is what it is.
Nah.
You know.
It's appropriate for me.
I guess. No, it's the Philippines that is incredibly Christian.
And, oh, really? Soups, yeah.
So yeah, big yeah. Hits. So Indonesia is Muslim. Very, 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 very Muslim.
Okay.
And then the Philippines, they're very...
It's a weird cloth, you know?
They're very... Yeah. Good blankets. That's dumb. That's a dumb joke. Don't laugh at that.
You did.
Okay. But
learn from my mistakes. Tell my story.
Tell my story. I was talking to the listeners, Chris.
No. I know. Okay. And I was talking for you to the listeners.
No, the Philippines, that like that's where you go and you find like somebody who's named like Rodriguez Yu, because the Spanish settlers came there and started having sex with all the ladies.
Really?
And then brought Catholicism. The Philippines, incredibly Catholic. Yeah.
Yeah, Job Ocupacion.
Joe Ocupacion.
Job.
Oh, okay.
Got it. See?
I get it, but
funny.
But that's too non-
terrible story, Job. You read it?
I'm so angry. What?
Did you read it?
Job?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Cool.
Yeah. Chris, the moral of the story is bad stuff happens for no reason. No, not for no reason. God just likes making bets with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad stuff happens when God's on the speed bag.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay, what can they do, Cole?
Well, they can go to Facebook, that is facebook.com/ Those Damn Ross Kids, and like us and suggest stories for us. We really like it when that happens. You can check out duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids, where you can find all of our old episodes, and also links to our social media stuff, including the aforementioned Facebook page. If you would like to, you can go to iTunes and leave us a rating or review. We've had reviews recently, but not recently enough, and we really like those. They help new people find us. So if you've listened, or if you're just now listening and you have thoughts, share them, please. And you can also check out other shows on the Duckfeed Network. For listeners of Those Damn Ross Kids, I would recommend The Pitch. It is done by my friend Gary Butterfield and his friend, and now my friend, Brayton Cameron, where they talk about new products that will help your life. And it is funny and helpful. And then there's other stuff. You can check it out. It's all over the place. Other than that, if you would wish to monetarily support the show and the network, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where you can use our Amazon link, and we get a little kickback from that, which helps us out in hosting the show and hosting the website and everything. Helps us not cost me money personally, and also to afford things like advertising and such. It's real cool. I appreciate if you do that. If you have ideas for Those Damn Ross Kids merch, let us know in any of the above mentioned forms, because Squarespace added commerce stuff, and it's really easy to sell stuff. So either digital or real goods, we can do that now. So just let us know. Anything I missed, Chris, aside from telling friends?
More than I wanted to listen to.
Okay, good night.
Night.